Barbarian tribes of Rome. The Anglo-Saxons. Anglo-Saxon travel. Not that they had cruise ships or went on a lot of vacations, but they traveled a lot, and they did it by land and sea. After all, it's hard to believe that they swam across the English Channel to invade the late Roman Britain. Clearly, the early Germanic tribes had some sort of ship that was capable of traversing the restless ocean. One popular theory is that the early ships of the Anglo-Saxons and the Jutes had no masts. They were very long and, of course, made of wood. The fact that they were long is important since they wanted to fit as many of their soldiers onto the ship as possible. We can have some idea of what these ships looked like if we examine the reconstructed ships such as the Nydam boat, the Gredstedborough boat, both found in Denmark, and the boat used in Sutton Hoo for a princely burial. All three of these ships had keeled planks rather than proper keels. They were over 20 meters or 65 feet long and had no mast blocks. They were to assume that similar boats were used across the channel. We could ascertain that the Anglo-Saxons were strong, experienced naval travelers who raided Britain with simple ships, oars, and brute strength. In addition to the ships, the Anglo-Saxons probably had smaller river frigates. Local river sailing would be common during this time, especially with the emergence of trading and the expansion of towns and cities. Ground travel was far more diverse. Naturally, locals traveled either on foot or on horseback. Horses in particular are very significant to the Anglo-Saxons of the period. The most obvious examples include the names of the supposed ancestors of Kent, Hengist and Horsa. But other evidence also lies in place names such as Studham, Studhampton, Studley. Each of these contain the term stud. In regards to religious purposes, horses would be frequent motifs in certain tales of miracles with early Anglo-Saxon Christians, such as the horse who helped St. Cuthbert from starving, or the horse who sank into the ground where St. Boniface died, and when they pulled it out, uncovered a fountain of drinking water. It's hard to overemphasize how important horses were to the ancestors of modern British people. However, they also had a practical use. For example, several types of horses are named within Old English. They were cart horses, pack horses, riding horses, breeding horses, royal and aristocratic horses, and of course, war horses. While it's tempting to think that they also used horses for plowing, there is no recorded evidence of this, nor is there a term for plow horse in Old English. Judging by these words, we can see that the Anglo-Saxons most often used horses to transport goods. For example, a horse might drag along a cart of hay or vegetables, or an owner might place a lot of baggage on its back. In terms of riding, Anglo-Saxon warriors were infamous for their being the first among the people of the island to actually raid on horseback. One more purpose of these horses served was a bit unorthodox, but still highly possible. Namely, in times of food shortages, such as harsh winters, Anglo-Saxons would eat their horses. They would also eat them after they became too old for riding or pulling carts. However, the occurrence is only unorthodox if we understand how important horses actually were to this culture. During later periods of Anglo-Saxon kingdoms, they founded a lot of horse breeding establishments. Horses were in fact so valuable that an Anglo-Saxon man could use one in land trade or gift one as a sign of respect or even a dowry. Royalty in particular held these animals in high esteem. As we saw in the earlier chapters, one unknown prince was actually found buried with his horse. The methods are there: horseback, foot, boat, ship. There's still a question where the Anglo-Saxons traveled. Or more precise, did they use roads? In modern Italy, you can find old roads that ancient Romans built. However, in pre-Anglo-Saxon England, even the Romans used roads that were built before them. Namely, there are some physical evidence of ditched roads that connected early Iron Age settlements of Kent thousands of years before the Romans even set foot on British soil. Naturally, once Rome took control, the new overlords made sure to reuse and rebuild these roads alongside a few new ones. Didn't merely use the roads built by their ancestors. Excavations done at Pilgrim's Way, the shrine of St. Thomas a Becket at Canterbury, uncovered three separate hollow centuries, suggesting it was the Anglo-Saxon community that built them. Other twin, such as the Copplestone Cross at Devon. Scientists have used method of objects to determine the potential old routes and the Anglo-Saxons' decent network of roads, some of which became obsolete near the 10th century. It was more of a gradual change with Mercia and East Anglia. Other evidence of different roads exist within place names and textual sources. For example, the term street, the name would suggest that the settlement was next to a major road, which were old English documents that detailed and listed land grants, privileges of the lay close to the boundaries of private land, and determine if they have any characteristics to travelers would walk, march, or ride a horse using one of the many roads. However, stray raids and roadside robberies were common. An interesting fact to note is that Anglo-Saxons were Roman predecessors. Even when they walked, they opted to follow the rivers as they were safer. Very often, we're getting close to Anglo-Saxon kings. So, we'll start doing that next time. Now, the sources for this, The Germanic People, Their Origin, Expansion, and Culture, by Owens, Attila the Hun, by Worrell, The Burgundians, by Charles River, The History of the Ostrogoths, by Burns, and The History of the Vandals, by Jacobson, as well as The History of the Barbarians. So I hope you enjoyed that. And as always, don't forget to come by the website, sumahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question, leave a comment, check out our merchandise, and if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.